following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. Well, it's Monday and kind of a crazy weekend when we're looking at the election and still not decided in what direction we're going to go. We're going to kind of clear that up a little bit today. Did I say clear that up? I'm misspeaking. We're going to kind of go into that a little bit today. We're also kind of going to look at this surge in coronavirus in Montana. I know Thanksgiving's coming up. We got a lot of things to still be thankful for. We'll keep that in mind. And later on, it's tax time, is it? It's always tax time. We'll talk taxes later on here on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, a man who enjoys a good coffee, Tom Schultz.
Oh, my gosh, do I love a good coffee. Not as much as Josh Rath, though.
Yeah, I love my espresso. My cofefe, I really do love it.
I know. I would ask you to kind of what percentage of your income is spent at this kiosk or that kiosk.
But you don't want
to
know.
We don't have to go there. It's kind of understood. I hope you're enjoying your morning coffee today. Does a Monday morning coffee taste any better, any worse than a Friday morning coffee? Well, maybe as far as the necessity for a Monday morning coffee might be a little higher. But anyway, thank you for being here. Two decades strong, working on three. Voices of Montana, part of your Montana mornings for that long, 22 years. And we sure do appreciate that and have appreciated you being on this journey with us as well. It just started out kind of as an opinion show in Missoula, Montana. Picked up a few stations, and then before you know it, there were issues that, of course, we need to unpack. And we do more and more of that, I think, lately on the program. Today, though, we're going to kind of catch up a little bit on what's happened. Let me tell you a bit later on. Now, Paul Harper, he's a good guy. He's from the government, and he's here to help. He's with the Montana Local Taxpayers Advocate Organization. He's a taxpayer advocate. He was on the program, I think it was in, it had to be late spring last year, when we did a AARP Fraud Watch Friday. And as we talked about, there's a lot of government money coming into our coffers now because of COVID-19 relief, how to protect that and how to maybe pencil in so that you don't get stung by a big tax bill at the end of the year or next year. And so we did some of that then. And then as Paul had contacted me, he said, you know what? We are normally out as a taxpayer advocate doing, outreach and doing seminars and doing little classes here and there. We don't get to do that this year. And so he said, do you have some time? Want to talk about some things? Earned income credit is one of the things that he wants to kind of unpack a little bit for you. And that's actually, I'm not sure how long it's been around. I think it's two decades itself. The earned income credit portion of your tax return, if you make less, and this is for, I think if you make less than $36,000 as a family, it can rebate you up to, or even just fund you. If you have not paid that much in taxes, you're still getting back on the EIC. It's helped a lot of middle income families throughout the year. So we'll talk about that and make sure you're getting every penny that's coming your way. What we're going to update you on here first is some of the developments over the weekend when it comes to election and the alleged voter fraud, the alleged election fraud. They came out, they being Trump's team, on Thursday. I reported on some of that on Friday with some pretty severe allegations, and they haven't necessarily backed that up yet with cold hard evidence. One of the attorneys there, Jenna Ellis, had said, look, this is going to be a court case. This is going to take some time to go through and also to just adjudicate. And I get that. So, but they have to find, this is what the Republican National Committee Chairman Ronna McDaniel had said, is that They have to find every single irregularity because, honestly, they don't have, from what I can see and from what other experts have said, all their cases are not going to add up to enough to overturn this election. But look at Georgia. There was about 6,000 votes that weren't counted on election day. Why? Why did that happen? That's a fair question. We would not have known that had we not forced the issue here. There are other places around. As a matter of fact, who was the guy? I got it right here. He was the Federal Elections Commission chairman, Trainer, FEC, which stands for Federal Election Commission. In this circumstance, Trey Trainer said that just the massive number amounts of affidavits that we see in this case show that there was, in fact, fraud that took place. Now, we kind of talked a little bit about the difference between a voter fraud and election fraud. Trump's team is trying to put together a lot of voter fraud to make up. And then there are also there's allegations that they're claiming about systematic election fraud. But that's yet to be seen. Anyway, we're looking for the proof. Here's something that before I run out of time. No, let's take a break and then I'll come on back and finish thoughts up here regarding. There's some new developments to talk about. Is the Kraken on steroids coming? Oh, we'll see. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana, back in a bit. All right, I don't mean to get stuck on it, but it's pretty important for us, as I've said before, whether it leads to a reversal of the election. I mean, that's why it's so important, because that still is out, is sort of standing out there, although President-elect Joe Biden is widely recognized to be getting ready to take office and making plans for that. But if anything comes of this, we're going to get hopefully a good cleaning and a good scrubbing of our votes, of our whole in election process, because there are a lot of irregularities that are coming to the surface here. And this might be a push for voter ID as well. I don't know why we don't have voter ID. I know some say that that it leads to voter disenfranchisement, but I don't buy that argument. I mean, if you're a legal resident, you're going to have an ID. It doesn't have to be a driver's license. You can go down and get an ID from the state and get a certified ID. Anyway, I think it would make it more secure. So I'm kind of a big fan of that. There was this was just yesterday. President Donald Trump's lawyer, Jordan Sekulow, said that they're going to be releasing a suit in Georgia soon. That's going to be quite a shock. He's calling it shocking because it's nothing that we have talked about before, quote unquote. It's not what you heard in the press conference that was on Thursday that we had talked about. So something completely separate, which is supposed to be released today. And Sekulow says the team is working on a constitutional case in Georgia. While Powell, who's been released or not even really released, she was actually maybe never even a part of the Trump team. That's kind of the whole circus atmosphere that surrounds this a little bit. I'll talk about that here in a bit if I got time. But Giuliani and Ellis, they're involving voting machines and allegations of fraud. This one's going to be different. That is coming for Georgia. Look to be out today. I talked about those comments from the FEC chairman, so I'll move off of that. And then there was a ruling. Did I not put that in here? Yeah, a federal judge dismisses a Trump campaign lawsuit to delay certification in Pennsylvania. That happened late Saturday. And the judge, Matthew Braun, said that the Trump case was strained legal arguments without merit and speculative accusations, quote unquote, and haphazardly stitched together. But President Donald Trump's team says, okay, that's fine. We're not going to agree with your decision, but thank you for a quick decision because we want to move this on to the Supreme Court, which is where I think a lot of these things are going to end up anyway. So they're prepared, not even, they said they're prepared to lose a lot of these cases so they can get their appeals to the Supreme Court. So the latest here is that the move by the Trump legal team to delay certification in Pennsylvania was struck down by a federal judge and will likely be appealed up the ladder there. Here's the strange thing. Sidney Powell, there was a statement and a press release that said over the weekend, Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. She is also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. This is sort of strange because she appeared with Giuliani and Ellis, and that statement confirms that Giuliani and Ellis are part of their legal advisor team. But Powell appeared with them on Thursday's press conference, and really, did she
release the Kraken?
No, not quite. But she said she's about to release the Kraken. So she was on the team, but maybe not on the team, but now she's not on the team. She says she's going to continue to carry out her duties here. Let's say what she said in a statement. I will continue to represent hashtag we the people who had their votes for Trump and other Republicans stolen by massive fraud through Dominion and Smartmatic. They deny that. And we'll be filing suit soon, she said, adding this hashtag Kraken on steroids, which I think is cool. She's got a lot of serious allegations there. All right. And we're going to lose patience. I think people are going to lose patience with this if we don't get to some court black and white evidence here real soon about some of the things that that she had been claiming out there. And again, it was massive and coordinated voter fraud done through Dominion and Smartmatic machines. There was also a statement Giuliani made that about a truck driving up at 4:30 in the morning in Philadelphia with ballots in garbage bags, garbage cans and boxes that had only votes for Joe Biden. No down ticket votes on them whatsoever. They said people, they've got affidavits of people swearing to that in testimony. So, and that's under penalty of perjury as well. Very serious. I'll move on for that. I just wanted to give you an update. Look for something maybe on the Georgia suit upcoming here today. Up next, let's look at our coronavirus cases. From Montana, for Montana, we're back with more of Voices of Montana in just a bit. Do you do your own taxes? How do you feel about that? I know, sometimes I feel like, you put it in the mail and you say a little prayer over it and you hope that it doesn't come back with one of those letters. And sometimes they'll come back with a letter that says, you made this mistake, we fixed it for you, here's your check. Or you owe us this. And I'm even okay with that. It's that we'd like to come visit you kind of letter that you don't want to get. So if you do your own taxes, where do you go for help? And we'll talk with somebody who can help you with that. Paul Harper, our local taxpayer advocate here in just a little bit. As I mentioned, we'll put the earned income credit on the table. But other questions that folks may have about, what a crazy year 2020 was, some government funding, some unemployment, how do you account for that next year? We're going to walk through that a little bit here with Paul. This is going to be on the other side of the news break. Tom Schultz back here, Voices of Montana. It was a tough week. Coronavirus cases surged last week. And this would be a surge. You know, I've not been a fan of calling it a surge. Like I've said all along, we're going to have to walk this out. And I think that's what we're doing. We're going to get some things right. We're going to get some things wrong. Let's keep our heads up. Let's not lecture folks. I saw a report. Oh, I'm not even going to go into that. Some people are acting very irresponsibly in wearing their masks or not wearing their masks or in trying to encourage other people to wear their masks through rather unsavory means. But I won't go into that. It's not a lecture on that right now. I just want to kind of go through some numbers because I know we have the holiday upcoming here and plans are going to be tapered quite a bit. We've kind of gotten used to this. This is part of the walking through it. We're still going to be thankful and we can still call. We can still Zoom meet. But last week, the percentage of rise was 24, near 25% percentage of rise. So the previous week we added in Montana 6,938 new cases. Last week we added 8,656. That's an additional 1,700. That's up 24.8%. And that's above the U.S. average, which, again, I think you can fairly say now we are spiking. The U.S. average last week was 16.5%. By the way, Montana ranks number 8 in the states where coronavirus has been spreading the fastest. And that includes, this is an article out of the Great Falls Tribune today, some smaller counties. They last week looked at Fallon, Prairie, and Weibo counties having outbreaks. On the week before, it was some of those rather larger counties, Ravalli, Missoula, and Cascade. A lot of numbers here in Yellowstone County with 1,155. Gallatin County has 1,119. So one thing I think that's interesting here is that we didn't do more tests last week. We only did 38,808 tests. The week before, it was 44,518. The World Health Organization would have a little bit of trouble with that figure because what they're trying to do is get to a place where you're conducting enough tests to have fewer than 5% coming back positive. And that's where they say with that, you can do pretty good contact tracing in a timely fashion to prevent further spread of the disease. But we are behind that as of last week. So, again, you know, use your judgment. Dr. Holzman is going to be on our program on Wednesday to talk about this. He's the state medical officer. He's with the Coronavirus Task Force. I'm just hearing reports. Heard one today that some folks are getting COVID-19 again, maybe 90 days, 60 to 90 days after they'd already contracted that virus. So we'll verify that. Also reports about how the capacity of our hospitals and our medical personnel, their resources are being stretched very thin. So we're going to get an update on that. That's going to be on Wednesday. And then on Friday, we'll have a show. Dr. Marshall Bloom is going to come back on the program. And he's a well-known, internationally known virologist. He's actually the a senior advisor and scientist at the National Institutes of Health at the Rocky Mountain Laboratory in Hamilton, and they have done a lot of virus work over the years. This goes back to the turn of the century almost, and the Rocky Mountain spotted fever. So he's going to come on and talk about some of these developments, the things that we do know, that we didn't know about this disease several months ago. Just another thing to finish up here. The U.S. Center for Disease Control, CDC, released their update recently on the fatality rate associated with COVID-19. I know folks like to hear this to put those things in perspective. We have large numbers in 24.8%, but they have released this based on new research. The CDC the survival rate, I should say, for COVID-19 for people aged 19 and under is 99.997%. I mean, this is good news, okay? I'm not saying this as bad news. I know it goes to that whole phrase, cure worse than the disease, and that makes sense when we look at some of these numbers here, but let's go right to, for folks 70 and over, that's 94.6%. I don't think anybody really wants those kinds of percentages. So we know the most vulnerable population out there. Just to finish up here, ages 20 to 49, the survival rate, 99.98%. I mean, that's way good. And that's why, you know, as we talk about the measures that we've taken, some have been effective, some have been too costly, but we're going to walk it out. We're just walking it out. So as you walk it out for this holiday, I'm just going to wish you well, blessings over you and your family, because Thanksgiving is one of those traditional holidays we get together. Whether we can make it for Christmas or not, we always try to get around the table together for Thanksgiving. And I know a lot of people are going to do that, and a lot of people are going to be missing some of that this year. Anyway, let's take this news break, and we'll come on back with Paul Harper after this.
Campuses in the Montana University system are planning to continue in-person learning for the spring semester, with ongoing efforts to help students' mental health through the extended winter break. The plan is to have a spring semester that looks more or less like the fall semester. The 130-year-old Missoula-headquartered Boone and Crockett Club, known for judging hunters' trophy animals, has declared climate change put the world's wildlife at risk and must be combated. A position statement on climate change says the club is committed to policies that reduce greenhouse gases and combat their effect on the climate. Each year, the American Farm Bureau Federation does an annual cost survey of classic items found on the Thanksgiving Day dinner table. This year, it shows a drop in cost of 4% over last year to $48.91 for a meal that would serve 10. That is the lowest since 2010. With Montana News headlines, I'm Brian Bennett.
Josh, I might have to have you repeat that story that you just told me here in just a little bit. Let's welcome Paul Harper first, and then you stand by with that. Josh got an incredible deal on a Thanksgiving dinner. He's sort of a geek. Did I say sort of? No, he is a geek. He's 100% geek. And so I'm going to have him tell that story. Maybe we'll save it for the end of the show. But I'm late. I'm in getting Paul Harper on the air so we can talk about taxes, of all things, Montana's local taxpayer advocate. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for being here. I talked a little bit earlier about the earned income credit. I talked a little bit about doing our own taxes and where we go for help. And also, because of COVID-19, you guys have had to kind of restructure some things too, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. Things have the COVID has definitely changed. Not only the way we do things, but the timeliness that we do things. It's taken us a little longer to get things done, primarily because we're trying to, you know, take a service center that processes, you know, paper tax returns with 3,000 people in it and trying to social distance everybody, which is difficult to do.
Do you think they'll extend the tax deadline next year, Paul?
You know, if I had to take a guess, and again, this is strictly a guess, I'm pretty sure they'll probably tack on a few months to it. And that, of course, is all depending on the new vaccines that are coming out. We'll see how those do. If those do great, it may not be needed. If those aren't getting out as fast as they should, I don't see a problem, or I don't even see why they wouldn't put on a couple more months.
Gotcha. How's your luck holding out?
Actually, my luck was holding out great until last weekend.
Yeah.
My daughter brought home COVID and now the house has it. So
oh, yeah.
I'm just working from home. We're doing okay.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. I know there are some folks that have real severe reactions to it. For a lot of people, it's pretty mild. And some, it kind of passes without even being noticed. And I'm hoping that's the case for you guys.
Well, we know it's here. It's not bad enough to slow us down, but we know it's here.
Yeah. Well, there's a certain amount of relief in that too, and I know a lot of people are suffering. I'm not making light of any of this. I know that it puts some people through the ringer, a double ringer, triple ringer, and of course our elderly population, too many deaths through this. So everybody, be safe. Paul, again, thanks for being here. I got a minute before this break, but let's tease up what you're talking about. We wanted to talk specifically about earned income credit, because is that something that people miss an awful lot of?
Yeah, I mean, some people do miss it, and most of the time the IRS catches it and lets you know. But the main reason why I want to bring up earned income credit this year and talk about it is primarily because 2020 has been crazy. A lot of people not only have lost their jobs, but they also have lost hours if they're continuing to work. So their incomes aren't anywhere near what they used to be. And this is a credit that last year may not have been beneficial to them because they made too much money, but now they're making less, so it may benefit them in the long run. So I just want to bring it up and make people aware of it.
Good. We'll go into it a little bit because I also want to understand how maybe some of these benefits are going to be taxed, and for businesses too. As much as you might know, I know you're more of a local taxpayer advocate, but we might talk about that too. So Paul Harper is our guest. We'll continue on here as we talk about taxes 2020 on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
How come I'm never as smart as the person who did something like this? Bought a home in the University District in Bozeman, Montana in 1987. How come I'm not that smart? A person who bought that home paid $65,000 for that home, University District, 1987, Bozeman, Montana. You know how much that home is worth now? $1 million. $1 million. I saw that out of the Billings Gazette today, a report on ranchers. There's the sub 5 million properties are gone, and just this rush into Montana. Yep, I get it. Hey, welcome back. Tom Schultz alongside from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. Austin Knutson will be on the program tomorrow. He's the AG-elect. And so we have him lined up to kind of talk about setting the stage, getting his office ready, as well as the governor's office is making a huge transition. All these other offices, a lot of them are as well. So Austin's going to join us. And as I mentioned, too, Dr. Holzman, the state medical examiner, on Wednesday. Paul Harper with us now. He is our Montana local taxpayer advocate, has 20 years of experience in federal taxes. He manages a group of advocates taking care of Montana's federal tax problems. He has deep roots in Montana. His parents and grandparents are from the Trout Creek area. Hey, Paul, thanks again for being here. So let's launch into it. Earn income credit. Does the money that the $1,200 that I got from the government, I spent that, by the way, is that income?
No. The economic impact payment, or what everybody likes to call the stimulus payment, that is not income to you this year. That was actually written into the law when it was created. So ultimately, it doesn't go anywhere on your tax return unless you received less than you actually were supposed to get. Say, for example, they use your 2018 tax return to base your economic impact payment on. And if you had a child in 2019 that wasn't taken into consideration, when you file your 2020 tax return, you would go ahead and claim the recovery rebate credit, which would actually give you whatever's left over that the government owes you for that.
All right, that's a big thing, because I have talked to people who did not get their checks, and there's a way to recover that in the tax form.
Correct. 2020 tax return will have a line item on it called the recovery rebate credit. I haven't seen the final form yet, so I don't know what line it is, but it's going to be on there. And there'll be a worksheet in the book. And if you think if you didn't get your check at all, or if you think you got less than you should, then all you have to do is go ahead and fill out that form, and it will actually compute whatever left over the government owes you and add it to your existing tax return for 2020.
You don't have to prove anything, or...
It's just based on your return, because the law was passed in 2020. Now, unfortunately, the only thing that the IRS had to go off of in order to give you the money early is either 2019 or 2018. If you hadn't filed 2019 yet, they went back to 2018. And then if your tax situation in either 18 or 19 was different than in 2020, the most common thing would be if you had a child, then you would want to claim that recovery rebate credit in order to get credit for that one child that you wasn't on one year 18 or 19 returns.
Yeah, it was a generous amount.
$500 for each additional dependent. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's real good advice. So more about the earned income credit, as you say, a lot of people maybe aren't looking at it. What are the limits to it? Where do we qualify for that?
Well, the earned income credit is a tax credit for people who work and have earned income, hence the name.
Yeah.
Now, you must meet certain eligibility rules to claim and receive a credit. The rules include filing a tax return. Even if you generally didn't have to in the past, you're going to want to do it if you have earned income. Now, having income within a certain range is also a requirement. And then your filing status and whether or not you're claiming a qualifying child also adds to the mix. The earned income thresholds. Now, if you have three or more qualifying children and your earned income is less than $50,000, you're golden. Now, these numbers are based off 2019. The threshold numbers normally go up a little bit each year, so the 2020 numbers are not out yet. But these are 2019 numbers. Now, if you have two or more qualifying children and your earned income is less than $46,703, then you'll get some of the credit. If you have one or more qualifying children and your earned income is less than $41,094, And then if you don't have any qualifying children at all, you're still not out of the mix, but your earned income has to be less than $15,570. And if any of those things apply, definitely take a look at it. I know a lot of people for 2020 didn't quite make as much as they did for 2019 because we're taking off so much time where people are being laid off or people have just, you know, businesses have outright closed and they're not making the money. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. One thing I do want to bring up, though, is the Protecting Americans from Tax Hike, or the PATH Act, made a few changes, and that was back effective 2017, and they're still effective today. The IRS may not issue your credit or your refund before February 15th. So for those early filers that like to file right in the middle of January, expecting it quite quickly, that's if you're claiming earned income credit with children, you're not going to get it until at least February 15th. The reason that is because they're making sure that there's no identity theft or refund fraud or fabricated wages to create that earned income, unfortunately.
Understood. This is kind of a silly question, but how much do people get away with?
As far as the earned income credit?
Well, and taxes in general. You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about how they'll examine this and examine that and look at these issues. Because, I'm just speaking from this Joe Schmo kind of a standpoint that I don't know that they're checking my stuff.
I mean, historically, earned income credit is a very hot topic, and it's very watched, I mean, extremely closely. And everything is double checked. So up front, there's probably quite a few people that get away with claiming earned income credit that doesn't belong to them. Whether or not they're, you know, some people claim, you know, they'll make a deal with their neighbor and claim their neighbor's kid just to get earned income credit and to give the neighbor part of the refund. That happens.
I see.
But it's always caught. I mean, probably up front, you're talking 20%, but on the backside, once it's all gone through and we double-check everything and make people prove it if we feel like we need to, it's down to 5%.
Are you guys doing any kind of seminar, any kind of outreach, any kind of public forum where people have their taxes, they have just a few questions, it's almost filled out? I'm not sure what I do here as our taxpayer advocate.
Well, as taxpayer advocate in general, we don't necessarily deal with a lot of tax law issues. The IRS still has their 800 number. It's still up and going. It might take you a little longer to get in, but it's there, and they're there to answer all those type of questions for you. Where the taxpayer advocate primarily gets involved is when there's an account issue or when there's an issue where the IRS is supposed to do something they haven't yet, it's taken longer than it should.
I see.
Then the advocate can get involved and help out and try to mitigate things. We're there to protect your rights as a taxpayer. But we don't do a whole lot with tax law. But that doesn't necessarily mean if you have a situation, I'll throw out another one, Affordable Care Act. At the end of each year, you have to reconcile what you received from the Affordable Care Act on your tax return. If for some reason you file a return without that form and they hold it up and they're holding it for a long time, then we can get involved and help them move it along, make sure they get the right information, make sure, you know, we're kind of the middleman between the IRS and the taxpayer.
Well, and it's a good idea, too. I mean, because I know circumstances, it happens in government, and an advocate like that, and I guess I'm speaking of the congressional office, sometimes will act on behalf of our constituents as an advocate for certain agencies like that. It can kind of it throws some dust up. It gets some wheels moving, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I work closely with all three of our congressional offices. Matter of fact, their go-to is me when it comes to federal taxes.
Yeah.
So if they have a constituent with a problem, they will send me the information, and I will get it taken care of.
Yeah, it's just a little kick in the drawers. What else is on this form, or what else is big that we need to know about when we look at our filing out our 2020 taxes, Paul?
You know, and that's a really good question. And with the change in administration that's coming up, that's a question that can almost can't be answered.
I see.
Because obviously there's been indications that the new administration is going to change some of the rules that the old administration put into place. And if that's the case, things can change dramatically. And really what that's going to look like, we don't know. I wouldn't even venture to guess at this point.
Interesting. Then where we're at right now, I mean, how I guess I'm curious, how can they retroactively pass some kind of policy or ordinance that is going to affect our 2020 taxes?
Oh, they would just write it into the law. Happens frequently.
Hmm.
They'll write a law in early 2021 and make it retroactive back to January 1st, 2020.
Huh. Well, that doesn't sound fair.
Happens a lot,
I guess.
It does happen a lot. And you know, they're talking about, you know, they're throwing around the fact of maybe doing another economic impact payment like before, or what everybody likes to call a stimulus. And if that happens, of course, that's going to change the laws as well. And those folks that didn't get it the first go around, there's a good chance they may or may not get it the second go around. But luckily, that only puts you another couple of days into the federal filing season, where you'll be able to file your return and get that recovery rebate credit. I'm sure they'll make the recovery part of it on the 2020 return as well.
Gotcha. That's very interesting. I'm just curious, how much can people contribute to an HSA? Just out of pocket, so to speak, or their individual retirement accounts without a tax penalty?
Well, individual retirement accounts all depend on a whole bunch of stuff.
It sure
age,
does.
Income. Yeah. I mean, it's all over the place. HSAs for 2020, and I want to make a guess at this point. I have to look it up. They're running, I think, $2,750, and it also depends on high deductible health plans, what your exact plan is set up, whether it's family, whether it's single. There are some other items involved with it, so it's kind of hard just to give you a blanket amount. I know I have an HSA, and I have a high deductible health plan, and my particular contribution for it was $2,750 for 2020.
That's interesting. That's good to know. I mean, that's something that can help with the high cost of health care. Paul, what's phone number? Do you guys have a good website, too?
Yes. Well, IRS.gov is the best place to go to get anything. If you want more information about the earned income credit to see if you qualify for it, you're looking for publication 596, that, of course, is on the IRS.gov. And if you want more information about the Taxpayer Advocate's Office while you're on IRS.gov, all you have to do is type in Taxpayer Advocate, and we have a subsite in there that explains everything that we can do for you.
Great. I appreciate that. Any final thoughts here?
My only final thoughts, my only concern at this point is to want to, you know, tell everybody to keep an eye on your taxes. This year might be completely different than last year with all the interesting things that happened during 2020. Your income may have changed dramatically enough where you're going to qualify for things you never qualified for before. If you have a professional filling out your tax return, you don't understand what's on a particular line, just ask. Have them explain it to you. That way you know ahead of time before anything else creeps up. So just it's going to be a different day, but file early. That always helps avoid problems.
Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Appreciate your time, and the phone's open. We'll chat down the road, okay?
Not a problem. You have a great day, sir.
Paul Harper, Montana's local taxpayer advocate. All right, we'll chat with Austin Knutson tomorrow. Wanted to turn this over real quickly. Josh Rath told me he bought an entire turkey dinner and got it refunded. He's eating turkey dinner free. How'd you do it, Josh?
Yeah, instead of tax refund, I got turkey refund. basically, you got to download an app called Ibotta, Ibotta. Sign up for it. It's free of charge. You go over to Walmart, and it tells you what you can get. You get stuffing. You get Coca-Cola, cranberry sauce, potatoes, mushroom soup. Personally, not a fan, but, you know, either way. A free 3-pound whole turkey from Butterball.
So there's a list on this app.
A complete list on this app. All you do is sign up for the app, Ibotta. You buy it with your own money. scan the receipt, and they refund you back to your debit card.
Brilliant.
Wonderful.
Brilliant.
Who loves free turkey? I do.
Love that. Yeah, Josh, thank you for that. And thank you for joining us as well. As I mentioned, Austin Knutson on Tuesday and Dr. Greg Holzman on Wednesday. Dr. Marshall Bloom on Friday and Thursday. Thursday's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.